Blog Talk Radio.
Mountain to the prayer, to the
what we ought to be. But we're more than we used to be. And my, oh, the people, God, the people,
my spouse, called my mama and my aunt, y'all should refinance. I let them dance with the devil, dig their own grave, and I gave them the shovel. Fuck, my daddy built that house, and when he got drunk, he almost killed that house. Is this American dream or the American scheme that got me walking these American streets? It's kinda sad when you have to get a hernia, cause you helped your grandmama move furniture. If I could sell you the American dream,
I could sell you anything.
Look at this maggot with a stimulus package. I can give a fuck about a Dow Jones average. What the fuck you do when your paycheck is average? Law-abiding citizen turned into a savage. Got to feed the children, got to feed the habit. Fell into a rabbit hole chasing that rabbit. Now I'm in Wonderland feeling like the son of Sam. I'm at your West Coast branch, gun in hand. I'ma feel like Superman, walk by the teller, better call a trooper, man. It's the revenge of the lambs, big bad wolf, we sick of these scams, sick of these plans, sick of this dance. Walked into his office, took the nine out my pants. You not a man, you a serpent, then I pray to God, let the nine get the work in. You know I heard they hood robbing, your money or your life, and it ain't no stopping. You know I heard they hood robbing, your money or your life, and it ain't no stopping. Ain't that a bitch? When you got to steal from the poor and give to the rich, ain't that a bitch? When you got to steal from the poor and give to the rich, huh? Drug dealer MD, doctor feel good, give you what you need. In California, prescribe that weed, Oxycontin and codeine. Turn your grandmama into a fiend. At Cedar Sinai, the first hit ain't free. I know you're about to die, but let me see your ID. I know you're about to lie, but can you pay this fee? If you can't pay, then please have a seat. You can't see a doctor, but you can see a priest. We can't say your life till we got some assurance. Your premium is paid at that insurance. I hope you got endurance. They got me on hold and I'm under the influence. Nursed high as a kite, in charge with my life, and everything is lost without Blue Cross. You know I heard they hood robbing, your money or your life, and it ain't no stopping them. You know I heard they hood robbing, your money or your life, and it ain't no stopping them. Ain't that a bitch? When you got to steal from the poor and give to the rich, ain't that a bitch? You got to steal from the poor and give to the rich. Whatever you need, we got it for cheap right here, baby. This America, it ain't gonna cost you nothing but an arm and a leg, maybe one of them motherfucking ears. Don't trip, just put it on your credit card, put it in your baby name.
From the Indians, welcome the pilgrims, and to the buffaloes, who once ruled the plains. Like the vultures, circling beneath the dark clouds, looking for the rain. Looking for the rain. Just like the cities that stagger on the coastline, and a nation that just can't stand much more. Like the forest buried beneath the highway, never had a chance to grow. Never had a chance to grow. And now it's winter. Winter in America. Yes, and all of the hills have been killed, sent away. Yeah, but the people know it's winter. Winter in America. And ain't nobody fighting. Nobody knows what to say. Save your soul, Lord knows, from winter in America. The Constitution, a noble piece of paper, with free society, a struggle, but they died in vain. And now democracy is a ragtime on the corner, hoping for some rain. It looks like he's hoping, hoping for some rain. And I see the robins perched in barren treetops. They're watching last-ditch races marching across the floor. But just like the peace signs that vanished in our dreams, never had a chance to grow. Never had a chance to grow. And now it's winter. Winter in America. And all of the hillers have been killed or betrayed. Yeah, but the people know it's winter. Lord knows it's winter in America. And ain't nobody fighting, 'cause nobody knows what to say. Save your soul from a winter in America. Sick.
Winter in America.
fighting, cause nobody knows what to say. And ain't nobody fighting, cause nobody knows, nobody knows. And ain't nobody fighting, cause nobody knows what to say.
Everyone, welcome to Dry Bones Connection on Wednesday night. This is Antoinette, and tonight's class is the United States real or not? And we have with us Brother Eddie. Brother Eddie, are you with me?
Yes, I am, Sister Antoinette. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. You're loud and clear.
And how are you doing this evening?
I'm well, thank you, and yourself?
I'm doing great. You can continue.
Good.
I didn't mean to interrupt.
That's the songs that I did first, please.
Okay.
The first song that was Lord, and I just had it in my head. Oh, okay.
Living in America by James Brown.
Thank you. And then we played Miss Kim Weston's God Bless America. And then we played Ice Cube, American Dream. And the last we played was Winter in America by Gil Scott-Heron. So I really ask y'all to check them out because they are some great songs. Okay, I'm sorry, Brother Eddie.
Oh, no problem at all. No problem whatsoever. And before we get started, as normal, let me bring in everyone with starting off with the ancestors, with Ashe. Namaste to the elders, and much love, honor, and respect to the family and listening audience for your time and space, and most of all, this portion of your life that you're sharing with us. As normal, it is greatly appreciated. And I thank you. Thank us. So, yes, Sister Antoinette, what current event do you have to share with the family this evening?
Okay, well, I have one is, and I hate to start off this way, but I have to.
Mm-hmm.
There's a financial failure. And so what they're saying is five of the largest banks has cut 20,000 jobs. So with these banks cutting jobs, what is this telling us for, what's coming down the line? You know, that it's a recession, even though they're calling it not a recession. Brother Eddie, help me. What are they calling it? Lord, it begins with an S, and it was in my head.
It's nothing's ringing a bell right now because they've
recession.
Recession.
They call it a recession, but we're headed for a depression.
Mm-hmm.
Even though now they're not even calling it that, but as we see the banks all tumbling, you know, these top banks tumbling, and they're connected with other banks that, you know, we don't realize is the umbrella. So, you know, even Canada is, their banks are failing as well. So, you know, we're into, and as always, what I stress is that I hope that everyone by now is getting their food supply up, you know, and other things that they're going to need for this winter that's coming. You know, as Gil Scott said, you know, it's winter in America and nobody knows what to say. You know, well, we got to save our own souls. We got to work. You know, we can pray and everything else, but we still have to prepare. We don't want our prayers to be in vain because faith without works is dead. So we have to do our part too. Okay, do you have anything that you'd like to add on that?
It's no more than what we've been talking about for some time now. Again, you mentioning how many banks, major banks, are doing this. How
five.
Many? Come
five.
On. As soon as you see that five, yeah. Baby, that's an indication of the game that's being played. The same
yeah.
game. You know, like I said, all we have to do is recognize the number behind the words, and we start to put this garbage together and what they're doing. And again, the 20,000 people that they're talking about laying off is because, again, what we've been talking about, the value of the American dollar is depreciating. It's gone. It's over. You know, we're crying and complaining about these immigrants and different people coming in, migrating here, especially in Chicago and other places that's considered a sanctuary city. And again, just found out some numbers because, again, I don't keep up with the nonsense, but the numbers they're throwing around is that they are putting out in Chicago, family alone, $51 million monthly. $51 million monthly for these immigrants coming in. And again, you have all these people lined up to put these immigrants in places that they know that different reactions will happen. Again, you have more wealthy neighborhoods that not one of these so-called camps or sites are talking about, they're not even talking about putting them in these areas. It's all in the Black and Hispanic areas that they're putting all of these people. For $51 million a month, come on. You can put them anywhere in the city of Chicago, but you want to distribute them strategic locations. Again, I mentioned the $51 million that Chicago, like all these other cities, are hollering they broke, but yet you got $51 million to give to immigrants. You have never, ever put that type of money and invested it in your citizens of America. How crazy is that for us to sit back and allow this? Because again, we protest still the wrong way by demonstrations and marches. No, the demonstration is to demonstrate how we hold our money. I just mentioned last week that $12.7 billion was spent on Halloween. One freaking day. $12.7 billion. So we know that the people aren't truly poor, but they're making sure that they're putting them in areas that cannot hold this type of people on top of people. That's just like the projects we had where they kept storing Black people on top of each other. Now they're putting us in a small area. We're side by side now instead of one on top of the other. They just turned it around and made it horizontal instead of vertical. And again, it's putting a strain on communities. They're talking about streamlining very quickly to get these people IDs, to get them jobs. Again, America does not do this for its own people that's out here that's crying and struggling for jobs. But yet, all of this flux of like you really care. See, again, all of this is part of that same paradigm that you mentioned with these banks getting ready and laying off 20,000 people. 20,000 people from these banks because they're not going to need them. The money, like I said, is the value of the dollar here in America is gone. So we won't need the people because the money, they're pushing in the new paradigm that we've been talking about, Bitcoin and cryptocurrency. This is why all these people in banks aren't going to be, they're not going to be needed. Because everything is going to be digitized. Everything is going to be right there in technology. We don't need all those people. All we need is a few programmers who are able to put all this stuff in. And basically everything is in the system. People who do banking, they're already in the system. All they have to do is get the people to micromanage what's being done within the system of the program. All part of the program. And again, the Hegelian dialect, problem, reaction, solution. Creating a problem, knowing the people's reaction, and having their solution already lined up to usher in. Because of the reaction of complaining, they already know where we're going. This test, this is a test. It's been done how many times? They're constantly doing it. So that's all I wanted to add to that, Sister Antoinette. You can go to the next current event.
Okay, well, we have a caller, but let me say this. You mentioned the projects, and it made me remember an acronym that they have for the projects. And that acronym is projects. People relying on just enough cash to survive.
Okay. I like that.
Yes, and we have a caller. Isn't that something, how that comes out?
Oh, yeah.
Brother Kwame.
Good evening, Sister Antoinette, and good evening, Brother Eddie.
Definitely. Greetings, my brother, my elder. How are you doing this evening?
I'm grateful, and I was grateful to hear you giving statistics and what they're doing in Chicago. I'm over here in South Carolina. But, I've been telling people, because they're talking about how much money these millions of dollars they're spending on these refugees. That's the laundering drug money. Why do you think they put them in our neighborhood? Where are the drugs being sold? In our neighborhood. So this is the way they launder the money, that they're getting out of the hood. They now get making them pay it back by sending them the people from that country, from that area where the drugs is coming from. The other part that you're doing and looking at is that money laundering, but then I'm just looking at refugees. A refugee coming from Ukraine will get $1,300 per woman and child. If you sponsor, see, this is where we have to look at something. If they're going to spend those millions of dollars to spend on those immigrants coming in, okay, we'll house them in our house. You pay us rent for them living with us. See, this is the trick in the game. White people they got applications. They tell you how much they will pay if you sponsor a Ukraine refugee and house them in your house for 90 days or whatever long it takes for them to get reestablished. They pay the white people to sponsor the refugees coming in the country. When they put them in the hood, they're going to launder the money and saying, oh, this is money, but this money is from the drug trade because the city is getting paid for that. You got $1 million zip codes in across the country. The people in the prisons, the people that are going to court, the people that are on probation, those are $1 million zip codes. And then you turn around and you put people in here that now you're saying, okay, we're going to use this money that we made from you selling the drugs and getting busted. We're going to launder it and put them in places and spaces where we could have used that money for you. We're going to give it to them because it's just your drug money. You see the scenario, and we out here protesting and marching up and down the street and steady going out here buying from the drug dealers.
Wow.
Part of the game, as I said earlier, it's all part of this elaborate game that they've been playing on the population of the majority of the people.
I'm here at a house that this sister is doing. What she's doing is she has one house that she has for women. She has 10 women in this house that houses women coming out of prison and coming out of drug treatment. She has a house for them, and that house. This house that we're fixing up here is going to open up next month, and we're having ceremony, and the people are coming, you know, in this weekend to help finish up this house because they didn't refurbish the whole thing. They didn't drywall, put new wall, drywall, new appliances. They got 6 bedrooms. They're going to house 20 women and 14 children. It's 2 children per person. I think that's how it's going. And they're up to the age of 9. This is for women that are battered women, homeless women, or women that's getting out of incarceration, getting their children back. These are the type of programs that she has seen. They doing this in their community, and they got all of this money going to them. Why can't we bring it? So she's got into it, and she's redoing it. And she's got about 10 acres here, if not more. In an unincorporated area in Greenville, and this is what we're looking at. We're talking about homeless and all the spaceless people. Why not do this? Because that's our money. We can get monies to fix up. She bought this house and gutted it, and got the monies for to refurbish it, and then in order to house these women and children. See, we got to look at how we doing. We're sitting up complaint. Start doing. And this is what I'm hearing and I'm looking at. And I was talking with her tonight because I'm trying to get her on another show on Female Solutions and talk with on that, because they were talking about this yesterday about the homeless population in Chicago. This is how you do it. You got to take and get the money to all of them abandoned houses. You can get money to refix those up and put people in it, because the people that was working here with the contractors putting it in were brothers that came out and that's in a program teaching them how to rehab houses, giving them skills. We got to look at, if they not going to fix us, how come we can't fix us?
Come on now, you know that was one of the previous classes that we did. It's up to us to fix us.
Right.
And go ahead.
No, it's just that we have the classes, you know, but I'm grateful that I can come on and share and say, okay, we're doing this here. I know a place that they're doing up here in Maryland. I know what they're doing over here in Tuskegee. I know what they're doing there in Georgia. We got to start doing and showing. Brother out in California, we talking about farming and doing this. $1.25 million, 3 brothers got the land that they're opening up and farming. $1.5 million worth of land that they're now farming this land and making produce to sell back to our people. We got to start looking at, we got to stop yeah, we talk about it, but where are we going to have the programs that we can say, here is one that's doing this? And then with that program that these brothers are doing, they got a group nationwide that they've started that's doing youth, young girls and boys that they're teaching how to farm. They got one in Illinois, one chapter in Illinois. They got chapter in D.C. They got different chapters around, but we got to start putting those people out there in order to see that we have the necessary tools. Join that. Help them. That's why I drove 3 hours to come up here, part of this opening and doing this, because I started when she had an empty shell house.
That's, again, you are, we are, but you are showing how to be part of the solution. See, the problem is, when I stated it's up to us to fix
us. I'll be right back.
Okay. It's up to us to fix us. What's that, Sister Antoinette?
We have another caller.
Okay, well, let the callers in. I can come back to this because I got it all wrote out, and I can get back to it. So let the caller in.
Okay, Ms. Kim.
Blessings, family. How you all doing?
Well, Kim, how are you doing, my dear?
I'm blessed. I'm listening to you all. You remember me speaking of the veteran and community coalitions?
Yes.
Okay. Miss Kim!
Hey, darling, how you doing? but that's what God has shown me. And he's also shown me that we are the veterans and the community, wherever they may be. We are the people. We the people coming together will resolve a lot of these problems we have. God bless you all. I'm going to put you back
God
on
God bless you, Ms. Kim. And
Ms.
let
Kim.
Me echo. I want to echo real quick that I didn't mention that I meant to mention at the beginning of the class, but I'll mention it now since you brought it up. I, being a veteran myself, want to extend my love to all of the veterans out there and all of the brothers and sisters that are serving right now. This weekend, this Saturday happens to be Veterans Day. So even listening to Ms. Kim talk, the words I'm hearing, the numbers, because they all add up, veteran comes to 29, which is 2. She said the people are the veterans, or the veterans are the people. People come to 20, which is 2. Veteran and people are the same number. See, so when I see these things, that's connecting the dots. She's right on point, because all of the people who are veterans of life, all of the elders are veterans of life, not just the military. They've been out here. They know. They've struggled. They've been through the trenches. So I wanted to add that to big ups to all of my fellow veterans out there. Have a beautiful Veterans Day, and go out and enjoy whatever they're giving to the veterans for that day to show their appreciation for your service. Eat it up. Enjoy yourself.
And I heard Antoinette say that she played God Bless America. That was dedicated from the young people in the youth program and myself to the American veterans.
Okay.
I
was hoping, excuse me, Brother Kwan, give me one moment, please. Ms. Kim, I was hoping that we'll be able to do something for the veterans next week on Veterans Day, if we can.
Well, I told you the album, This Is America, was dedicated to them as well.
Yes. Yes, but we'll have to get together about doing a show for them, for the vets.
All right.
I'm sorry, Brother Kwame.
No, and I didn't mean that. I thought you were finished. But what I'm doing, there was a program that I, when I was out in Cali at my daughter's, and usually I'm out there in November. And the part of the program was, it was Heroes Abroad, homeless heroes. This is what they, this is the organization. Heroes Abroad, homeless heroes in America. Because the majority of the Vietnam vets is out there, that each war has their veterans that are out there with living on the streets. And the thing is that how is it that you serve a country, you gave an oath, but when you come back, they don't recognize you. And Brother Eddie and I know I was a Vietnam vet, and we didn't get recognized until 10 years after the war was over. 10 years that they even gave recognition for the Vietnam veterans after we came home.
Brother Kwame?
Yeah, that's terrible. I have relatives that were in that war, and, you know, where they didn't get their just due. And as I told Eddie, I had an uncle that went over and came home, and he was standing outside and got hit by a car and lost his leg and had to fight to get his benefits because they didn't consider him still being on duty where he just got home that day. So I truly my heart goes out to the vets, to all of them.
Yeah, and the other part that really gets it is that they come up with this, they get out there when people start protesting about it and saying, oh, we're going to do this for the veteran, we're going to do this for the veteran. But every 22 minutes, a veteran has then took his own life. Every 22 minutes.
It makes me just wonder, what are they putting something, what did they put into y'all when y'all were over there? What was the vaccine?
Every experiment that they wanted to do.
Y'all? Yes, because y'all were just experiments. You know, that the Medical Association, from what I understand, also experimented on the vets. Well, when y'all were in service.
But let me share something with you that people don't know. There is the book. It's called the DSM-4. It's the definition of mental illness that they use with psychiatry. Do you know where they developed that at? That book of definitions of mental illness by war veterans.
And
psychiatrists interviewed the veterans of war at wartime, and they started giving definitions for mental illness.
Wasn't that over? Okay, now wait a minute. I know I read that, and I'm trying to think. Was it over in, not in this country? If it wasn't in this country, then in Tennessee.
But it was here.
They
developed it here.
Pardon me?
I said they developed it here.
Okay.
This is what psychiatrist was interviewing veterans coming back from war. And that part, and this is where they developed the definitions.
Okay.
Yes, we, a lot of veterans then and today are still no more than human guinea pigs, you know. As it said, we're nothing but lab rats. Because, again,
yes,
a lot of the things that were introduced to veterans, especially those of us who went overseas, you can ask a vet how many vaccines and shots did you take before going and coming back, you know, and they can't, if you don't have your shot record, you can't keep count of how many vaccines that you had to take being a veteran. So,
right.
Yeah, they, all type of experiments they did on us. So, yes, but here, since we are on that subject of Brother Kwame, what's really interesting dealing with fixing us and how we can do it, and we do have the blueprint. The reason that we don't is because we keep asking the same, forgive me, family, but don't really forgive me because I mean it, the stupid-ass question, reparations. Reparations. We keep talking about reparations. Now, for those who don't know what reparations is, a quick definition. Reparations, the making of amends for a wrong one has done by paying money to or otherwise helping those who have been wronged. And this is the part that most wait on, talking about reparations, money being paid back, paying money. The second definition of reparations is just the act or process of making amends for a wrong. Now, as I stated earlier, it's up to us to fix us. And again, the family knows by now, I got five on it. This stuff is all in five. It's coded. Code comes to 14, which is five. Fix, family, is 14, which is five. It's up to us to fix us. We're talking about fixing us and asking for reparations. Reparations is 41, 14 in reverse. Ain't nobody gonna fix us but us. So that reparations we're talking about is talking about repairing us. They're not going to repair something that they put into process and they're still experimenting, as we're talking about right now, on us. How in the hell, that's insanity for them to correct the wrong that they've been doing from the beginning of the conception of making us so-called slaves with that foolishness. But that's why reparation is upon us to fix us, to repair us. They're not going to, they've been lying, they still lying. That lets us know there's no reparations in the plan. We keep throwing it out, or they keep throwing it out there every 3, 4, 5 years to get us talking again, a talking point about fixing us. No, they're not going to do it. Brother Kwame gave a beautiful example of the sisters who's getting this land, building property to help these sisters get back on their feet, get themselves together. Because, again, we see this country all over America opening their doors to these refugees, these immigrants. Chicago, $51 million a month, family. But again, where's our reparations that we've been trying to get from the end of slavery until now? We ain't never got our 40 acres and a damn mule, let alone anything else. Go ahead, Brother Kwame.
And see the part, and that's an excellent point, Eddie. And the thing that has to happen is that we're talking about for an institution that was called chattel slavery, right? And they're talking about reparation. Emancipation Proclamation. But then in that same year, they wrote what? The 13th Amendment, which says neither slavery or indentured servitude, except if you are duly convicted of a crime. That means is that as long as you have criminal actions put as you being charged with, you will never be free. So they wrote it right back into the system. So until you change that 13th Amendment, you can't get no reparations because you're still in slavery. This is why I'm trying to rattle my brain, and I've been saying this. As long as that 13th Amendment is there in government paperwork, slavery ain't over. Every time you drop that gavel, you're made a slave. You're not free. You a felon. They call it a felon, but you are a slave of the state. And once you come out, you can't vote. You can't live in housing. You cannot do the same thing a slave was. So when are you going to learn that it ain't over, baby?
Wow.
The struggle continues, family. It's a never-ending story.
Right. And until we understand, and everybody, oh, I'm getting sovereign. I'm going to get my papers. I'm going to kill that shark. No, dude. As long as that 13th Amendment exists and you get convicted, you are back into slavery. Why do you think that they keep millions? We house more men, prisoners, than any other country in the world. At one point, we had 2.5 million people in prison, and 1 million of them was us. You either, us is a slave, them is indentured servant. Not over. So until we recognize that you got to change that amendment, and if you don't change that amendment, every time the gavel drops, when you drop it going to court, you are put back into slavery or indentured servitude. Because what? You got a war on drugs. You got a war on crime. You got Jim Crow laws. You got the pig laws. You got debt slavery. So as long as you have those systems in place, you ain't getting no reparation because you're not a nation recognized. The Japanese got it because, and the Jews got it because they're not part of that nation. They wasn't captives. They were captives. They were prisoners of war. And once they released them from prisoner of war, they got back to citizenship, so they had to pay them for keeping them prisoners. That ain't the way it worked with ours.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. But that, I don't want to get started because, Sister Antoinette, we brought the family in and you didn't give your second current event that you was getting ready to give. So let's give you that opportunity to do that now.
Huh? Okay, I have two more.
Okay.
One, Philadelphia made their historical mark last night. I guess that's the way how you would say it. But anyway, they made history last night. A black woman won the mayor race. She's the first black woman to be mayor in Philadelphia. Now, my only concern with her is that she is saying that she's going to bring back the fisc and search, or however you say that, when they pat you down and do all of that. She's bringing that back. And that was something that everyone fought to get taken out. And now that it's taken out, she's going to be bringing it back in. I'm happy to see a black mayor, come to Philly. I hope that it'll work out for them, but I'm also concerned for them with what you just said, because, Lord, I still can't remember it. But that's what it is. But I'm happy for her, and I hope that this would be a good thing for Philadelphia, because Lord knows I'm tired of hearing about them in the news. I hope that this will, strike down some of this homicide that's going on, with these young children, their lives and stuff. But her name is Cherelle, Cherelle Parker.
Okay.
You got that?
CP. No, CP, that's all I'm going to call it, CP, or initial CP. But
yes.
You said she's basically, she wants to bring back the stop and frisk, right?
Yeah, that's the first thing she said.
Okay.
She's putting documents stuff.
So right away, let's stop it. Let's stop it right there. Don't get caught up with a sister or a person in blackface. You know, another bat woman, like Batman, like Barack. Just because they're black, they're, you know, again, before we endorse somebody, do your research, your homework, your investigation. Go look her up. But you ain't got to look too far, because if she's talking about implementing stop and frisk again, and we basically shot that down, got rid of it in a lot of states, and she's talking about bringing it back, then you better watch out, because it seems like she's a George Soros girl. Just black female mayor that they had in Chicago named Lori Lightfoot. Kim Fox being the state's attorney for Chicago. No, just because they black and they put in these positions, they put there for a reason. Just like this black judge that just got put in, that female who can't give you the definition of a damn woman, but she black with a college degree and can't give you a proper definition of what a woman is. Stop the madness, people. Stop saying that we happy to get them in. No, they're there for a reason, to keep us docile, just like Barack did for 8 years. Talking about what he gonna do for blacks, that he never did nothing. He made sure that the Jews got theirs, the gays got theirs, the banks got theirs. I can go on and on, but we ain't get shit. But pull yourself up by your bootstraps, black people.
But,
stop it.
Right.
And stop it.
And you're right, Eddie. And the thing that they're doing is she's a front because
Thank
of
you.
The crime rate and it's going on in our community. She's gonna start that stop it. That stop and frisk law does not go for that white area, that if you go out there and you start having black policemen stopping and frisking white people, you will have an uproar. She will
be
ousted real quick. See, it's only specifically do this to your own and leave us alone.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Do it to your own and leave us alone. That's the way that works, is because once it's just like there's a war on drugs. All of a sudden, when all of these young people from Barbie and all of these suburbs start ODing and dying from these opioids, now it's an epidemic. But it was a war on drugs when our children were doing it.
Our children is
casualties of war. Theirs is an epidemic. How do you define the same drug killing?
Thank you. See, again, if they had a white individual who was mayor who came in talking about stop and frisk, we'd have a fit. But you got a black person in there, it's not too much steam being raised because you got a black face in there. And like you, Brother Kwame just said, you're doing it to your own people. It's not equal across the board. That you're doing this in white areas, Asian areas, Hispanic areas, but you're doing it definitely in black areas. See, because we've always been under scrutiny. We've always had that X on our back. As they say, X marks the spot.
But see, as long as we do each other, it's okay. That's why they will give you that title. You can be the mayor, but once you step across that line to over there where we live at, you ain't mayor. We don't recognize you. We got our congressmen. We got our congresspersons. That's who they rec. You don't have that authority to come into their community and dictate stop and frisk.
See, that's something else. That's crazy. You know, but that, again, it's the games that this country plays. It's not, it's all about the game, family. And remember, game is 14, that 5. Game 5, recognize 5. Game, recognize game. When we start seeing these words by the number, we recognize more than we've been taught by the system in any and everything that we think we know. That's part of this game that, again, that I've been given to see, to share with the family so that y'all can see more than I can see, because just like Antoinette just revealed, I knew nothing about a female mayor being elected to Philly. And I ain't, you know, I'm not going to congratulate none of them because, again, they've accepted that contract to be part of that game to do what white people ain't doing to us. As Brother Kwame said, they got us doing it to each other. They named it black-on-black crime. See, yeah. they can deal with that. But, you know, they ain't never going to say white-on-white crime, and they was doing more crime to each other during the rolling 20s and during the bootlegging era than anything. But you never heard a term come up called white-on-white crime. No, it was called the mob, the mafia. Exotic right, names for them.
Right, and you're right, because you look at something. You have the Italian community in Philly. You have the Polish community in Philly. You even have the Russian communities in Philly. You ain't mayor over there. You stop and frisk your home, but you better not come in our community talking about I'm going to stop and frisk, because the first thing they're going to say is what? You're violating our freedom to do. And this is what you're doing, because the thing about something about stop and frisk, when you stand a man up against the wall and you run your hands up and down his body and in his butt and in his private parts, you are raping him.
Sexual harassment. You're right.
That's it. You go down there and you send police into the Italian community or the Irish community, and you go and you start violating their children, they're going to have you up on charges.
Mm-hmm. And you don't see not a black politician standing up for these things that are being done to our community. Because, again, once they are elected or once they even nominated, they're part. To even be nominated, they know that we not got us a black person, a nigger, that's going to do what we want them to do. And if we got a female, it's better, because she's black and a female.
Yes, and she's the first one.
That minority, that don't mean nothing. She's the first one that's going to rape us in the butt again. I don't give them, no. She's the first, just like they want to say Barack was the first black president, but what did he do for us? Tore us a new one without the Vaseline. See, that's when we find out that he's still in the closet. He's good at doing that.
But the thing you got to look at, too, how old is this country from? Philadelphia is the seat of brotherly law where the Constitution was written and signed. Since 1776.
Yeah.
You hear it is 2023 that you finally recognize, supposed to have been free. How come it took this long to get a black woman into that position?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Ms. Kim, did you have something that you wanted to add? I'm sorry, y'all. Excuse me. Ms. Kim?
No problem.
Yes, I have quite a bit, but you're going with where you are right now since you say I'm open. Okay. I'll be back in 1 second.
Okay. Well, let me know when you're ready.
Okay.
I'm sorry, y'all. And when y'all are done, I have another article I want to bring in. Okay, go ahead.
No, that's basically it for me dealing with that, because, like I said, I had a good reign of it with Lori Lightfoot, you know, being not only the first black female mayor, but also come out of the closet gay individual. I'm trying to keep a good tongue in my mouth, because again, I don't even want to socialize her with that when she basically stood up in the city council with basically, as it is in government, mostly men and told the the council body that ain't nobody got a dick bigger than hers. Please help us stop. You know, so these are the type of individuals that they're putting in leadership, and it ain't no way that I'm going to say that this individual is a leader for me. I didn't call the mayor while she was there. I called her Little Caesar with a Napoleon Bonaparte complex, walking around hiking her pants up with her hands in her pocket like she a dude, the same way Napoleon had his hand in his vest pocket. You know, she wanted to be more of a dude than we are. You know, so no, ain't no way. You know, so Brother Kwame, if you had anything to add before Sister Antoinette does the next current event, please do.
Go ahead, because, when we hear these are first, we got to ask the question, why is it so late coming?
Oh, yeah.
Now, Ms. Kim, did you have anything you wanted to add to that before I move on?
She said she was going to step away from the phone for a minute and she'll be back.
Okay, well, the next one was in Ohio. They're talking about how in Ohio, the mayor stance went to Democrats, and all of the states where Democrats won as mayor was because they allowed the abortion to be on the ballot. And they're finding that these abortions, which I'm not for abortions, but this is how Democrats won the abortion. The abortion states is where abortion was put on the ballot. And we're having, I think it's 50 or 60,000 children, babies that are being aborted. And you know, they're saying that this is going to kill off America by our children being aborted.
In fact, you can call me, but I don't see it.
Pardon me, Mr. Trump?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I had me on mute.
No, well, I was talking about the abortions, and they're saying in 1973, wow, that's a long time ago, more than 60 million babies have been slaughtered in the United States. And the American people don't want that to stop anytime soon. And we can see that with, you know, as I said, with the states that have it on the ballot. And, you know, and they're saying that they'll keep abortions. And, you know, again, I'm not for abortion. You know, I mean, you out there and you make a baby, then keep the baby. If you don't want to keep the baby up for adoption where somebody who wants to have children can. And I pray that it's not I hope that it's a man and a woman of natural sense, the way how they were born, not the way how they so desire to be. So does anybody want to jump in on that?
Yeah.
Yes, I do.
Right now. Go ahead, Ms. Kim.
No, you go ahead.
No, the elders first.
Well, I just wanted to say that the word says that when we are born, an angel is assigned to us. And I'm just wondering if there's an angel assigned to these babies that are being aborted. Do y'all hear where I'm coming from?
Yeah. Well, Ms. Kim, look at the ones that fortunately aren't aborted.
That's fortunately what?
not aborted, you know, where that was the plan, and something stopped them on the way to the abortion clinic or while they were in the abortion clinic.
Well, you know, asking that, my belief, this is my personal belief, that God put something special in every being that he made.
Yes.
Now, whether that's developed or not, that's something different. But it's, I believe it's just like our fingerprint. We all have a distinctive fingerprint, and I feel that we all have something special that God put in us. So my thing is, you carry up the baby. You didn't make that baby. And you have no, you didn't give it life, and you have no right to take it. That's my belief. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Okay. And most likely, and that is most truthful, because here in this country, you don't hear abortions in all these other countries, because that's not what they do. It's specifically here in this country because it's population control. But today, this is global statistics. Today, there's been 350,000 babies set foot on this planet today. 350,000. The crude birth rate is 18.2% per 100 per 1,000, or 267 births globally per minute, or 4.5 births every second. That was the estimate in 2018. The current world population is growing by about 215,000 people every day. It is projected to hit 8 billion by 2023, 9 billion by 2037, and 10 billion by 2057. This is what this country is doing to eliminate people of color bringing forth life. Who are the Planned Parenthood most popular revolving door patients?
It's in the city, isn't it?
There you go. The most user of abortion through Planned Parenthood is black women.
Well, that's where they have all the Planned Parenthood facilities are in the black community.
Why was eugenics created? To eliminate the people of color, because before when you was in captivity, your baby come out, the first breath was worth $300. You are no longer worth that $300 unless you are dead. Then your body parts, those body parts of that fetus is worth more. Stem cells, all of those parts that they can take from that fetus is worth more in science than it is letting it live.
Well, you're worth more dead than alive. We've heard that.
Yes,
you're worth more dead than alive.
Look at the rate of body parts being sold. The young black body is worth $250,000 by just body parts. Lungs, kidneys, liver, heart, eyes, all of that can be sold on the market, but you ain't worth jack when you're alive. When are we gonna stop playing and see what they're doing? This is genocide.
Yes, it is.
350,000 babies born in a day on this planet Earth. Every 7 seconds in this country on Turtle Island, there's a child born. Every 8 seconds, there are people dying, and the majority of the people dying don't look like us.
Yeah. Well, we really got to talk to people.
We got to do our homework and look at the data. Then we can see, just like Eddie, when he starts showing the money and where, follow the money. What was that movie? Give me, bring me the money. Follow the money. Follow the money. You'll see where it's going. Like y'all saying, Soros. All of, follow the money.
Oh yeah. Yes, indeed. Who's backing who? Where's the money coming from? To let you know that who is paying for their interest to be fulfilled. These people are fulfilling.
And who's paying for the elimination of black bodies on this Turtle Island?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
can I
throw
that in there? I heard that the lady that was running for president says that the woman that started Planned Parenthood was her idol.
Mary Singer.
She said that was her idol.
Tells you something right there then.
Yeah. Wow.
Yep. It tells you she is getting ready to eliminate you if you get her president.
Yeah. Wow.
Hitler. Hitler read her book and started eliminating Jews.
Yeah. Yes. Well, the start our class off, is the United States real or not? I have something. First, I'm going to play by Martin Luther King, and it's The Other America. So from this, Brother Eddie, if it's all right with you, we can start our class off with.
Yes, go ahead. That's great.
Okay, here we go, y'all.
And I'd like to use as a subject from which to speak this afternoon, The Other America. And I use this subject because there are literally two Americas. One America is beautiful for a situation. And in a sense, this America is overflowing with the milk of prosperity and the honey of opportunity. This America is the habitat of millions of people who have food and material necessities for their bodies, and culture and education for their minds, and freedom and human dignity for their spirits. In this America, millions of people experience every day the opportunity of having life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness in all of their dimensions. And in this America, millions of young people grow up in the sunlight of opportunity. But tragically and unfortunately, there is another America. This other America has a daily ugliness about it that constantly transforms the buoyancy of hope into the fatigue of despair. In this America, millions of work-starved men walk the streets daily in search for jobs that do not exist. Economically, the Negro is worse off today than he was 15 and 20 years ago. And so the unemployment rate among whites at one time was about the same as the unemployment rate among Negroes. But today the unemployment rate among Negroes is twice that of whites. And the average income of the Negro is today 50% less than whites. And as we look at these problems, we see them growing and developing every day.
A new study has found that the wealth gap between white households and minorities has widened in recent years. The wealth of white households was 13 times greater than that of black households in 2013, versus 8 times the wealth in 2010. And the wealth of white households was more than 10 times that of Hispanic households, up from 9 times the wealth in 2010. Pew researchers analyzing data from the Federal Reserve's Survey of Consumer Finances found that the gap between whites and blacks has reached its highest point since 1989. Researchers say a number of factors may be responsible for the widening gap: falling income, lower savings rates, and different asset holdings.
In this America, millions of people find themselves living in rat-infested, vermin-filled slums. In this America, people are poor by the millions, and they find themselves perishing on a lonely island of poverty in the midst of a vast ocean of material prosperity. In a sense, the greatest tragedy of this other America is what it does to little children. Little children in this other America are forced to grow up with clouds of inferiority forming every day in their little mental skies. And as we look at this other America, we see it as an arena of blasted hopes and shattered dreams. Many in moments of anger, many in moments of deep bitterness, engage in riots. Now let me say, as I've always said, and I will always continue to say, that riots are socially destructive and self-defeating. I'm still convinced that nonviolence is the most potent weapon available to oppress people in their struggle for freedom and justice. So I will continue to condemn riots and continue to say to my brothers and sisters that this is not the way. Continue to affirm that there is another way. But at the same time, it is as necessary for me to be as vigorous in condemning the conditions which cause persons to feel that they must engage in riotous activities as it is for me to condemn riots. I think America must see that riots do not develop out of thin air. Certain conditions continue to exist in our society, which must be condemned as vigorously as we condemn riots. But in the final analysis, a riot is the language of the unheard. It has failed to hear that the promises of freedom and justice have not been met, and it has failed to hear that large segments of white society are more concerned about tranquility and the status quo than about justice, equality, and humanity. And I submit this afternoon that we can end poverty in the United States. Our nation has the resources to do it. The national gross product of America will rise to the astounding figure of some $780 billion this year. We have the resources. The question is whether our nation has the will. So what we are seeking to do in the civil rights movement is to deal with this problem, to deal with this problem of the two Americas. We are seeking to make America one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
What's happening?
Hello, Sister Internet?
Yes, I'm sorry. I'm here.
Okay,
well,
is that it?
That's the start of our class, yes. That's to start off our class. So, Brother Eddie?
Yes. I loved it. I love that because, again, it actually subways into the title of the class tonight, him talking about two Americas, because we've always talked about two Americas, one black and one white, one right and one wrong. See, so the title is the United States real or not? Well, yes, family, we know the United States is real. It's not united. This where we're living, it's real. But as far as being the United States, we're not united by a long shot. Even by the standards and laws of each state is different. How could we be united and every law in every state you go to is different? If I leave one state and my state happens to be conceal and carry and I go to another state and they don't permit you to have, it's different laws. That's just one small example. Because in each state you have cities, and in every city in each state has different laws. Every suburb within a city has different laws than that city. So how can we call ourselves united when everything about each state, each city, each municipality, the laws are different? And what is the saying? Ignorance of the law is no excuse. And we're not versed on different laws and policies as we journey from state to state to state to state. They're all different. And these are ways that are meant to keep us in the condition that we're talking about these two Americas. As we say, as soon as we learn the law, they change the law. See? So these are the games that these people have been playing from the beginning of the conception or the birth of this nation known as America. It's one of the biggest games there is, because understanding the code behind the game, dealing with the numbers, the first game that they played on us was called color. The second game they played on us, which was the same thing, was called race. Now, code is 14, which is 5. Game is 14, which is 5. Color is 14, which is 5. And race is 14, which is 5, family. I got 5 on this because I recognize this now. This is when I just said at the beginning, this reparations being 41 is a 5. It's part of the gang, family. This is why even their motto says, united we stand, what divided we fall. See, you, me, we're divided. This is why they echoed this when they came up with this coronavirus. By the way, coronavirus is 41, which is 5. To Father separate us with this 6 feet of separation. They doing this by the number, using words, knowing that we don't recognize the number is how the game is being played. So, divide and conquer. Haven't they been doing this for the longest? They came and divided the land here. They came and divided the people from their culture. Divided the people from their language. The original people of this country, which you don't see too many because most of us don't know that we are those original people from this country. Not knowing that the names change, but the number remains the same. Brother Kwame always refers to this region, this country, as Turtle Island. All they did was change the name. They left the numbers alone. They're not messing with these numbers. Mm-mm, family, that's part of the game. You don't change the number, you change the word. So now Turtle Island is called United States. Ain't that something? The same number, different name.
Yes.
Now, we don't know that you divided comes up to United States. It comes up to Turtle Island. They've divided us. You've been tricked. You, again, being one trick is 23, which is the 5. This is why the joke is on us. Joke is 14. It's a joke, family, that we cannot see this game that they continue to play year after year, decade after decade, century after century. The same, these, as Kwame mentioned, going all the way back to 1776, July 4th, is a 5. It's all part of the game. It's right there in front of us. And they've said for the longest, it's hidden in plain sight. Well, what's hidden, family? My part, and it's just my part, is to show what's hidden is the number behind the words that are being used. The numbers never change. The laws, the Constitution that they write and put amendments in and take them out, all that, knowing the 13th and 14th Amendment, what it's really all about, but it's metaphysical on the level that we presented to the family to see it by the number, not by the word with its definition, description, and direction. That's what we're caught up in.
Yes.
It's even understanding. Go ahead, Sister Antoinette.
No, after you get done, I have something to say, but, well, let me say it now. Folks, we have 3 minutes for you to get on this call. You definitely want to hear this class because it's very important. And Brother Eddie and myself have much more that, and the people that are here have much more that they're going to impart on this subject. So call in now. You know, as I said, you got 23 minutes, so. Brother Eddie, you want to give your contact information?
Yes, I can be reached at eharris12764@gmail.com. That's eharris12764 at gmail.com.
Okay.
The call-in number also is 515-605-9343. Again, that's 515-605-9343. Go ahead, Sister Antoinette.
Okay. Tomorrow night at 9 p.m., I'm doing a show with Brother Ray, and it's going to be on the war that is going on in Israel and Pakistan. So you definitely don't want to miss that. And also, Brother Ray has a Cash App, and it's, you know, so that we can make donations to him. As y'all know, he just recently lost his brother, Dalton William Fontroy, and had left us. So he was 97 years old and became 98, I think, within a couple of days or the next week, if memory serves me correctly. But, you know, he is deeply missed, and there's only two original Tuskegee Airmen left. So we want to give honor to them. And, you know, as you all know, Miss Kim loved them and still loves them. Forgive me for putting that in past tense. So, and also don't forget, on Sunday at 10:30 a.m. with Dry Bones to Helios Filios, and at 3 p.m. on Sunday, don't forget the drumming, no matter where you are in the world, at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, drumming for divine intervention and prayer. You know, y'all pray however you pray, whatever language you pray in, however you do it, but we're calling for divine intervention to knock these demons down. So with that, Brother Eddie, you're speaking on all of these things, on how they divided us and things that they're not telling us. If you don't mind, I got a 9-minute clip that will help show this. Is that okay with
go
you?
Ahead.
Or would you...
Of course.
Okay.
No, go ahead.
This is the dumbing down of America, folks.
My name is Charlotte Thompson Isserbate, and I served as senior policy advisor in the United States Department of Education under the Reagan administration, during which I had access to all of the most important documents for the restructuring of not only American education, but global education. And I'm also the author of The Deliberate Dumbing Down of America, which gets into all of this, gives the background of what I saw not only in the Department of Education, but as a local school board member. I was trained to identify the resistors. The resistors to the sex ed, drug ed, alcohol ed, suicide ed, death ed, those good, smart Americans who realize that anything that has education hanging off the end of it is probably not what they're looking for. I was trained to identify those good people and to go up against them, and actually to go and try to get them to join us through the group process system, make them feel important, get them on a committee. And when that just blew my mind. I have to say, people often ask me, what is it that got you involved in education? Well, finding out what I saw at the local level certainly upset me. When I went and I saw that Americans were being trained to identify resistors, you know, then I got pretty upset. And luckily, there was a big book that came with the in-service training called Innovations in Education, A Change Agent's Guide. And I was able to take that back home with me. Unbelievable examples of how to con the Christians and different people who are upset with what you're trying to do, how to bring them over to your side, case studies, true case studies of educators who had put programs in that normally, you know, in a normal American town, nobody would want them.
How did they manage to get them in? How did they con the people? And the other thing was, not only was I trained to identify the resistors, I was trained to go to the important people, high profile, highly thought of people in the community, with the Rotary, Chamber of Commerce, Garden Club, you name it, the different groups in our towns. Go to them and convince them of the importance of these new programs like sex ed, drug ed, I just mentioned all of them, and get them on your side, because when you can get the leadership in a community to go along with it, then the newspaper comes in and says, you know, a committee's been set up with the head of the Rotary and this and that, and they're all getting behind this task force to discuss whether we're going to have a new sex education program. And then when Mary Jones, you know, who ordinarily would think, why would we want to have a sex education program when we don't have any problems with kids having sex or anything, so she might be you know, concerned. She might be one of the resistors. She reads that her best friend, who's the head of the Garden Club, is on this committee, and she thinks, oh, well, hey, Mary Appleton is on the committee. She's heading it up. Must be okay. So I was taught really how to con the community. They always call everybody by the first name. You have to get very, you know, affectionate with people and say, William, you know, I'm so glad you've come to this meeting, and I understand your concerns about this program, because you know, I've had other people, usually it's the really bright people in the community who have these concerns, and would you like to join our group? The original program was funded by what would subsequently become my office. It was funded by the Office of Research in the U.S. Office of Education, because it was funded early on, about the late 60s, still funded, by the way. And the money went to the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor to a professor by the name of Ronald Havelock. And he was the one that put together the whole training, the whole seminar, the book. And in the back of the book you had, they admitted it, right in the back of the book, they had about 100 major change agents listed from all over the country. Some of them I recognize, some I still don't, but some I do. And so this was a very important project. And it was being, you know, it was being carried out in I'm sure, all over the country, not just where I was. This was in Searsport, Maine, this lovely little town on the coast of Maine, in the school there where the guy came in, the facilitator, not Professor Havelock, but a facilitator, to train us. And these were good people that were there. You know, they were some of the teachers from my school, where I was on the local school board, principals, etc. Normal-looking Americans. You know, you really ask yourself, they must themselves have reacted very much the way I did. That's why I've always had a lot of understanding for teachers that have to go through this stuff. I didn't have to continue going through it. They've had to, through the years, constant training, retraining, sensitivity training, break their values. Right, no right, no wrong. You've got to have all religions represented, so, you know, tolerant of everything, and because that's the New World Order. Disorder, excuse me. Professor Benjamin Bloom is probably the most important behavioral psychologist ever to live. I mean, maybe not quite as much as Pavlov and Skinner, but he really implemented the system in education in the United States. And he was the author of the taxonomy of educational objectives. And I know that doesn't mean much to us. It means a lot to teachers. They know. All teachers have to go through that. Bloom's taxonomy. And just to give you an idea of how blatant they are, Benjamin Bloom said the purpose of education, and I often say this to parents, really, listen to this. You think the purpose of education is reading, writing, and arithmetic? The purpose of education is to change the thoughts, actions, and feelings of students. And then he goes on and he says, he defines good teaching, and this is even worse from the parental standpoint, as challenging the students' fixed beliefs. And then in some of his works that I have, that are in my book, a lot of this stuff is in it.
When he says challenge, does he mean challenge or does he mean change?
Yeah, through challenging. It's through challenging. You go up against them, and you change them. And you asked a good question, because then he goes on in one part of the taxonomy that is in my book, he says that he can take a student from here to there, from a belief in God or his country or whatever, to being an atheist and not believing in his country in 1 hour.
Did he do that?
Oh, yeah, he does it. And I've seen it with students. I've seen it with young people. And they don't even know, and teachers don't even know. That's why if you talk to teachers about it often, they really have an awfully hard time dealing with it. And if you go up to a superintendent, an educational administrator, superintendent or whatever, and you ask him or her, have you ever been through sensitivity training? They'll usually crack up because they went through it. They're the worst, those programs. I've been through them. I mean, how can anything be worse than some of the ones that the regular classroom has? But they're the worst.
What do they teach the children?
To bring about change. They put them through role-playing, psychodrama, all these psychological techniques where they play the part of starving children and the other one plays the part of a very wealthy industrialist child. And, you know, they bring about the attitude and value change through the emotions. You know how young people are, you know, they're naturally very altruistic and they want to help and they don't like to see poverty around the world. And so what they'll do is, just like I think I mentioned to you earlier, or I don't know whether I did, going into the teacher, putting in the new social studies program in our community and walking through, taking the little tots through town and identifying big, rich people's houses and small, poor people's houses. That's a perfect example of what I'm talking about. Getting them young and making them feel sorry for the people who live in the trailer across from the captain's house because they only eat hot dogs, not steak. And then they'll do the same thing with Ethiopia or wherever, some third world country, showing them the children dying. And then they'll show pictures of our affluence. And what do you eat for breakfast? Oh, you have eggs and bacon and cereal and orange juice and grapefruit and everything, yum, yum, yum. Do you really think it's fair? Common unity. That's what we call it, common unity. It is no role for the individual in the community. And for everything that goes on in the Soviet Union, or communism, is based on the community, the commune.
Brother Eddie.
Yes.
Did you catch that key phrase that she said in there? To change thoughts, actions, and beliefs.
Yes, thoughts, actions, and feelings of belief. Yeah, I got that. I wrote that down. Oh, yeah.
Yes. And I thought that was a powerful statement. And, you know, something that I've recognized in my grandchildren, that once they start school, the things that you put in them, you got to still fight to keep in them, because they come home and they try to do it a whole different way than what you taught them and what you say to them.
That is correct.
And so
that
from this,
correct.
You see why, how that came to be.
We've been saying this for quite some time, this dumbing down of America. Everybody has their own experiences that what has happened with the dumbing down of America, of our children, of society itself. Again, we are now hearing about this, what is it called? Critical race theory. Instead of critical thinking. See, and again, this is why the change of their thoughts, actions, behavior, feelings are being utilized in this program. They're still doing it, and this is the reason that I got out of volunteering for a lot of these organizations that they still come up with and they still have today in certain areas. Because when you get involved, you see that they have people within the audience, people within that to basically spot you, pinpoint who you are. We will be considered troublemakers. And their first job is to try to get us to side with them on the agenda that they're pushing. And this is why I left that platform of getting involved with these organizations that are constructed by the government, the same individuals who are pushing this dumbing down, to make sure that ideals that we come up with and suggest, to push them to the side, to throw them out. So they're still doing this, and this is a reason. It makes me totally upset because, again, I've worked in the school system, and not being a formal teacher with that so-called paper degree, by their standards, I didn't have to go through this nonsense, what teachers have to go through. Being a substitute, being a security guard, being an after-school educator that I did during the times working in the Chicago public school system, can't talk about anything else, I saw things that I wasn't supposed to see. And first and foremost, I'm a father, I'm a parent. So when I saw things wrong, I would inform other parents. And we all know that when you put yourself out there, you out there. So I would get a lot of feedback and pushback because I was informing the parents. Because during these times in the mid-2000s on up to now, they were basically doing things that the parents were not familiar with. And again, taking away the PTA, Parent-Teacher Association, where you don't hear about PTA meetings and things that parents are involved in the education of their children because they don't want you involved, especially a parent like myself who was basically always up at the schools, always there. My children didn't have to be in trouble. I was there. And because I was always there, this is why I was given the opportunity to work there. But unbeknownst to them, I'm like the spook who sat by the door. I was always rambling through papers I wasn't supposed to be. I was always going and up because I was security also. So I had keys and I had permission, unlike the teachers, to go into places to say that I was checking things out. But, yeah, I'm looking at paperwork and things that I'm seeing that is detrimental to our children and to us and especially our future. So, yeah, they're doing this and they're doing it. They've revved it up. It's become, as I would call it, more sophisticated. You don't see it on the surface. Now, well, you didn't see it on the surface then. Now we can see it. And we have evidence of it when we see what our children are learning, or better yet, are not learning, what they're not teaching them. So all of these things that were said, we definitely need to pay attention to. But again, we've experienced a lot of these things, so we can halt it. We can stop it just by lifting your voice, speaking up and speaking out against these things. It's more of us than it is of them, but again, because we're not organized, we're not together in what we're doing, and the protesting that we're doing is old. It's run its course. We're in this technical era, regardless if we want to abide by it or not, but we can use it for our benefit. And we don't. A lot of us, a lot of parents, a lot of adults get caught up in this system of being caught in the web, being caught in the net. And again, we send our children to public schools, which gives public schools permission, regardless if we know it or not, we've given them permission to do what they're doing today to our children, teaching them homosexual acts and tendencies, all this about LGBTQ education. And I've been complaining for shit decades now that you're not teaching the history, the true history, which a lot of people call black history. No, that's history, baby. It's not just black. It's history that has been whitewashed to the utmost to fit a system. This is why understanding the phrase, we're in it, but we're not of it. We're not a part of this, but we're in it. We're born into it. But that's why the struggle continues. The fight is still on. It has not stopped. This is why we're still talking about it. But everything that you get tonight or you get along your life, just be on that side of caution. Be cautious about the things, the information that you're getting. And see if it's conducive, if it works for you, if it's along your lines of thinking. Anything that's opposite or contradictory to your moral standards, values, and conviction, then you know it ain't right. They've been doing this for the longest, as I said. And this little bit is for Miss Kim, to let her know that, yes, God is there. Like I said, I see God in everything. E-Y-E, that third eye, I see God, because the eye is a part of the Heavenly Father. But that's even understanding when we get to that number four, which is God, 13 comes to God. But they've been giving us that in the things that we talk about or do. When they say three into one, well, what is biblically the three into one? It's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Did we know those three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is the one? Why? Because when you add Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, it comes to 82. 8 plus 2 is 1. There's the 3 into 1. When you even say mind, body, and soul, mind being the Father, body being the Son, soul being the Holy Spirit, well, mind, body, and soul comes to 37. 3 plus 7 is the 1. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, 82. 8 plus 2 is the 1. See, they got us not understanding that 4. Understand comes to 40. We have to truly understand, not just by the word, but for me it's by the number, because numbers don't lie. That when we start to understand, we get into the understanding that takes us to the overstanding. Understanding is 49. 4 plus 9 is 13, the 4. Overstanding is 49. Same thing, the 4. Here's the real trick, family, that we don't pick up on dealing with that 3 and 4. See, because that 4, they have us upside down. Upside down comes to 40. That's why we're not speaking of God and everything, because it's upside down. When we say here is there and there is here, here, H-E-R-E comes to 21, which is 3. There comes to 28, which is one, the three into one. Well, if we really look at that word there and rearrange the letters, T-H-E-R-E, and make it T-H-R-E-E, same letters, there becomes three. Here and there, there's that three, baby, three into one. And we didn't see it. But it's
Brother
God.
Ed,
yes, ma'am.
From what I've been taught and in my teaching on my own, the word says, in the beginning was the word.
Mm-hmm.
And the word was with God.
Mm-hmm.
The word was God.
Yes, ma'am.
And the word became flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Among us. There's no yes. other name by which man can be saved than the name of Jesus.
Yes, indeed.
In the beginning.
You just brought some back.
In the beginning was the word, and everything that was made by him. Made
mm-hmm.
for him.
Very interesting. Very interesting that you made that statement in that biblical term of in the beginning, family. Those three words, in the beginning, comes to 58. 5 + 8 = 13. That's why God is in the word. In the beginning, he was there. He's right there in the beginning. But we don't see the number of any word we say. We just say it, but we feel it. We know what we're feeling. But this is, as they said on that link that you shared with us, Sister Antoinette, what they're trying to change is the thought, actions, and the feelings, the belief
yes.
that we are embedded with, that we've been taught. So,
yes,
again,
if you don't have a connection, it's easy mm-hmm. people to understand it's a one-on-one thing. It's a one-on-one with the divine.
That's
nobody
it.
Else can feel what you feel. Nobody else has what you have. It's a one-on-one.
Yes, we all have a piece of it. That's why, again, as you said, it's called a personal relationship. Everybody has a personal. What's personal to me ain't personal. It might not be personal to you, but it's personal. It's all personal. This is what we have to have a personal relationship that has a connection. And this is why we all have a peace, personal connection. That we're able to share once we know what it is that we have that's our piece of that learning, that piece of the puzzle, that piece of information that we're supposed to share. But if we're sharing somebody else's ideas and convictions of what they have told us and we didn't take it and make sure that it enhances what we already have, then we're pushing somebody else's agenda. It's not even the word of God anymore. Because, again, that word that is given by God is a personal relationship with you. For mine, every word that's given to me, I'm able to see it by the number that shows me my personal connection with all of this. And I've been shown how to see God in all of these words that they've given us because they've taken God out. I'm putting God back in by the number of what they say that we don't even see it by the number. We only recognize the definition, description, and direction of each word. Hidden in plain sight. Continue, Ms. Cam. Yes, I'm sorry, Ms. Kim. Brother Kwame got cut off, I think, and
merged him in with me. So, yeah, you can be heard, Brother Kwame, when...
All right, go ahead, Ms. Kell.
You can go ahead. Tell him to go ahead.
Go ahead, Kwame. You can interject.
Okay, and I thank you, Sister Antoinette, for playing that piece on King about the two Americas. And what we're talking about is the word, but this one word, and the part of it is, yeah, there's two Americas, and Brother Eddie, you're right, and you, there's not a United States, because in the Pledge of Allegiance, it says, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, individual, right?
That's right.
Okay.
Which is
what does but see, this is the part. We look at what does it mean to be indivisible. Indivisible means it's an adjective. If you say that something is indivisible, you mean that it cannot be divided into different parts. Far more, being separated, the mind and body forms an individual whole. See, this is what this country is based on. It is not for us to be whole here. This is what they have come here and established themselves as. This is why they use that word, indivisible, because you can't divide it because it's not united. They're already telling you when they say indivisible means it's not united. It's divided.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the whole. And the whole is what it says. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. See, that's the part of the whole being, in that we now understand what we are now here talking, understanding. Our wholeness begins with understanding what these words have done. Eddie is here showing us how the word is a number, and the numbers don't change. The words may change, but the number stays the same. Indivisible. Key in that part of that pledge, because that's why they put it in there. That word is specific, because nothing is going to be whole as to what they want it to be. I mean, for what they want, they have the whole piece of this pie of this country. And the other part too is we call this Turtle Island, and I thank you for that, because you said Turtle Island and United States numbers come out to be the same number.
Correct.
The thing that you're looking at when you say Turtle Island, the turtle on its back was where we all live on the turtle's back, originate, and it has always been 13 squares on that back. It started this country with what? How many states? How many?
13 colonies. 13 colonies.
13 colonies. But they turn around and use they took the turtle, the 13 colonies, but around the rim of the turtle is 28 squares, which is the 28th cycle of the moon. See, they just redefined the turtle, and they took the numbers that the 13 on his back and the 28 around there, and this is what they do. The lunar cycle.
That's
and
it.
What is the lunar cycle? The female cycle.
Yep. So seeing that the 28 and 13 on that turtle's back, 28 times 13 is 364. 3 plus 6 plus 4, you back to 13 again.
Right.
See?
But there's 365 days. So
that's the change. That's
right.
That's how they changed it up. Give you 365, which now it's not 13 anymore. It becomes 14. We back
but
to that 5 again.
You only
that changed.
You only get 365 next year because it's what? Do you get that one day extra? And
yes,
February.
Yeah, leap year.
Leap year.
Leap year.
So, Antoinette, what that piece, that clip that you played about the schools, please, can I get, if you can share that with me, because it's some stuff in there that I heard that I couldn't write it down, but I want to get that information because that was what Reagan did. That's what she started off with. Reagan
mm-hmm.
was the one who changed the educational system, because that's when they took phonics out. They took geography. They took a lot of the teaching tools out of the curriculum because Reagan said he doesn't want thinking people. He wants working people.
Yeah.
We don't want thinking people. We want working people.
I heard that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what they did. They didn't want you to think because that's what Brother Eddie was talking about when he said about the history. They don't want you to think about who your people were. They want you to say what you want. We want you to be. We want you to be workers.
Yeah, that clip is called "The Dumbing Down of America." That in there a long time ago. So I'm sorry I no longer have the MP3, or if I do, it'll take me forever to give it to you because I have a whole lot.
Okay, well that's the name of his book, right?
No, that's the name of the clip. That's
okay.
The link. Is Charlotte Isabel, something like that. I can't pronounce her name correctly. Forgive me. But it's on YouTube.
But if you could text me her name and I can put it in, I'll find it. Oh, I'm going to find that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but it's called The Dumbing Down of America.
All right.
Yeah, she has a lot of excellent things that, you know, that if you really want to take the time to listen to her. Also, Dick Gregory wrote a book. It's called The History of Black America. Then the Black is Crossed Off, so it's just the history of America. And that's by Dick Gregory. You know, because our history is America. You know, as you, I believe, said, Brother Kwame.
Yeah.
So.
But that's why I always talk about February. February
yeah.
comes to 32, that five. And this is when we have Black History Month. And most who used to say, you know, they gave us February because it's the shortest month. And we got into different people's birthdays who came up with the idea, this, that, and the other. No. As far as the numbers don't change, February was the original month of that calendar that we refer to now as the Mayan calendar. Before it was called the Mayan calendar, it was the Black Olmec calendar. Well, Black Olmec, by number, comes the leap year. That's what they did with our history. They leaped over our history dealing with the Black Olmecs, and then they gave us the Mayan calendar. Well, Black Olmec and Mayan is the same number. Again, they just keep changing the words. The number remains the same. The Black, the Mayans are us as they migrated within that time that we were called Black Olmec, and then they refer to them as Mayans, and then they changed the culture from Black to Hispanic.
Right. Is her
See.
Name Charlotte Isebryt?
Yeah, that's her.
Yeah, it's not dumbing. It's called The Deliberate Dumbing Down of America.
Okay,
that's the name
forgive
of the book.
Me. Yes.
The Deliberate Dumbing Down of America. That's the name of her book. I found it.
Okay.
Okay, good.
Well, if you got the link, send it to me, Brother Kwame.
because I had some stuff in there I was writing down, but I couldn't write it that quick, so I was calculating things in my head and my mind.
Well, the lowest price is $44. It's another seller by Amazon, but they don't. I'm gonna find out who else got it.
I want that link though. I wanted that link to hear what she has to say, because I ain't gonna spend my money for no nonsense that we already know we talking about anyway.
Well, it's not. I found the book, but see, that's what
right.
I'm saying. That I gotta find the video.
Right, right. I got you.
Okay.
I got you.
I'll send you the name of the book, and then I'll look.
Right.
I'll look for the video.
Well, we both can look for it then. I get the name. We'll both be looking for it, so we'll find it quicker
right.
with both of us looking for it than one. So yes. But yes, family, yes. That's we got to be diligent, and again, stop looking for handouts. See, because again, that here and there, they use another word for here that we resonate with. Soon as we hear this word instead of here, and we hear the word free, free, people come a running to get something free. And what have we been teaching for the longest? Everything that's free ain't free. You're going to pay for it somewhere down the line. You're going to pay for it in the end. It ain't free. They just use that word to make you run towards what you think you want, because they not told you something's free that you ain't got to pay for. Still another program, part of programming, to see just how deep we have people running towards something we tell them. Again, the Hegelian dialect, and by the way, Hegelian dialect comes to 59. 5 plus 9 is 14. 1 plus 4 is 5. The Hegelian dialect is part of the code, baby. They've been using this for quite some time. But again, we don't see that number of the code, that number of change. Even that word that she used, challenge. And we should challenge ourselves, our own brain, because challenge comes to 32, that 5. You're challenging your brain. You're challenging your thought. Where do you get your thought from? And once you find out where you get your thought from, you bring it to us. You bring it on home. Bring it home so we can fellowship about it. We can talk about it. We can explore it and make it better, because we ain't trying to make nothing worse. We got enough nonsense that's bad already out here. We ain't got to advocate, as they say, for the devil, the devil's advocate. No. I'm an advocate for Mother God. I'm an advocate for the Heavenly Father. I'm not an advocate for the devil. The devil don't need no advocation, but I ain't never heard nobody advocate for Jesus, advocate for God, advocate for Mother God. No, it's always, let me be the devil's advocate. Quit it, family. Quit it.
I found it. I sent it to you, Eddie, and I sent it to you, so you'll have it again, Sister Antoinette. It's on YouTube.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Ms. Kim, are you still with us? Do you have anything to add to this class for tonight, because we always love to hear your word, being an elder of good sound mind that basically echoes from the past to the present that we push in for the future. You got yourself on mute, or did you have anything to add, Ms. Kim?
Oh, I didn't know you were talking to me, darling. I'm sorry.
Oh. No problem.
To you too, Ms. Kim. I was
thinking somebody to store for me. You all hit on several things. As a matter of fact, there were some things earlier that you all were speaking about. And I think I mentioned to you all before that a part of the program that I'm projecting is dealing with building homes out of rehab material. And that's something that I'm hoping I can get together soon, because I'm ashamed from what was put in my heart. Every veteran can have a home. Every veteran can have a home. And making that a part of a program where you can have supervisors and deal with supervisors that you can see where they're coming from is not just on the surface, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the kind of program that I want to talk to you through you and Brother Quanley about. That youth program that I had, God has shown me how to improve the veteran. The veteran and community thing, she's got that on me. So the veterans fought for the rights that we're supposed to have. They fought for the community. So if you're not a veteran that served in the armed forces, you're a member of the community and you're not supposed to be here. So that should include everybody. That includes everybody. But the people that fought for us, I feel, if I'm going to listen to somebody, I want to hear what they got to say. And we're not hearing that kind of stuff. What did you fight for this mess that we got going on here now? I don't think you all fought for that, because that wasn't something we wouldn't think of bringing that kind of stuff up when you all were in the service, would we? Hello?
No, what did you say there, Ms. Kim?
I was saying, what did you all fight for? Did you fight for some of this ridiculous stuff that's going on now? Did you fight for babies in the kindergarten to be told about what they don't need to know?
Oh, yeah, we were fighting for you. Thank you, Kwame.
Yeah, but the part that she, and I'm overstanding, we fought for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness that this country represents, supposedly. And the other part that I look at, because World War II, I think it was after, that's when they started building the projects so veterans could return home and their families could live in a home or the projects, and what that was the project was. That was part of the plan that they created the project in building homes for veterans when they returned from war. And see, that was the part, if you want to honor what we did, that should have been a part of when you come home, you automatically have the money and everything is in place where you can go and you can get a home for you to start your life over again. For serving this country, and the pursuit of your happiness is being able to find to have a job when you get out. See, that's the
I'm part. I'm in agreement with that, but there's some parts of this situation that I don't understand. Such as when my aunt and my uncle came home in about 45, I guess, or 46 maybe, they dealt with the GI Bill. And I was told that they eliminated the GI Bill and then they put something back in there, but it doesn't say anything about what the original GI Bill said.
Right. And this is what the thing that happened with what the GI Bill was for. The Europe, the white came back from the war, got the GI Bill, went and got a home loan with it and started a business, or they had that went back to a job that they had before they left. And so these were the benefits that was given to them. But when we, the same brothers that came back, they were just like they told them, you can't go to this bathroom, you can't go to this bathroom. And the separation was still here when we come back from the war. He was given the ticker tape parade. We were told that we couldn't be on the street with them.
Did that happen to you all when you all came home?
When I walked out of being discharged in San Diego, there were protesters outside the gate yelling baby killers, spitting on us and talking about what we had did to killing people. wasn't no ticket. That's why I said it took 10 years for them to even give us recognition or a parade or a day recognizing the Vietnam veterans. Because
well,
they lost
the Vietnam veterans. The Vietnam veterans were the first ones that God put on my heart, and I started out with this veteran thing, dealing with them, you know, well, with
right.
you all. And, I
because
still
they still
that.
Had World War II, they still, Korean War, World War II, they still had segregation in the South, they still had Jim Crow, they still was lynching us. All of that was still going on. What did Brother Billy share with us when he came home and went to get a job and told them that he was a Tuskegee Airman, he flew airplanes, and they told him, well, you don't have a high school diploma, we can't hire you. He told us that.
Yeah, that again goes back to that dumbing down of America, saying that we got to have a piece of paper through their educational system, which we see we were never being educated but miseducated to, as you mentioned, to be a worker, not a thinker.
Right, but what the part that gets it is you got today, you have them who have a high school diploma make more than a person with a master's degree.
True.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you see all these people that got degrees, 70 to 80% of them aren't working in the field that they have a degree with.
And but the thing is getting here is that you got the ones that you got our children walking across the stage, getting that piece of sheepskin in one hand and getting $100,000 to $200,000 worth of student loan debt.
Yep.
Yes, Brother Eddie.
Yep.
You spoke once. You spoke on us relying on other people. My cousin Nanny wrote a thing, 12 things the Negro must do for himself. And
mm-hmm.
if you don't, I would like to bring up a couple of pointers.
Okay.
The first one he has is the Negro must learn to put things first. Put first things first. The first things are education, as Brother Kwame just said, development of positive traits, and trade and home ownership. And she has the Negro puts too much of his earnings in clothes and in food and show and in having what he calls a good time. So that's one thing that you see that we got to correct. Two, the Negro must stop expecting God and white folks to do for him what he can do for himself. It is the divine plan that the strong shall have to help the weak. But even God does not do for man what man can do for himself. The Negro will have to do exactly what Jesus told the man to do, carry his own load, take up your bed and walk. So you see, we got to stop expecting people to do for us. We have to do it. Three, the Negro The Negro must keep himself, his children, and his home clean and make the surroundings in which he lives comfortable and attractive. So by doing that, you know, that way we won't feel less than, you know, if we keep our communities up, it gives us something to have pride into. The Negro must learn to dress more appropriately for work and for leisure. And if you look at what people are wearing today, these females and some of the men, Well, now with the men with the skinny jeans and the suits that are too small, to me they're too small. But, you know, these are things that we got to correct. The Negro, number five, the Negro must have his religion as everyday practice and not just a Sunday go-to meeting emotional affair, which we see that too often where it's not real. And that comes back into your own personal relationship. Some people display church. Six, the Negro must highly resolve to wipe out mass ignorance. So the leaders of the race must teach and inspire the masses, as Brother Eddie is doing, and the reason why we have these classes, to become eager and determined to improve mentally, morally, and spiritually, and to meet the basic requirements of good citizenship. Seven, the Negro must stop charging his failures up to his class and to white people's attitudes, which we see too much of, because we shouldn't let their attitudes, how they feel, we should still, you know, have ourselves build up where, you know, who cares what they think? So, you know, that's something that we also have to correct. Number eight, the Negro must overcome his bad job habits, arriving to work on late, not doing a complete job, you know, doing your work properly. You have to have pride in your job and, you know, just come to your work. Come to your place of employment, which I know no one, I believe, is still working now, but this is something that we can tell our children and our grandchildren how they should be at work. Nine, improve his conduct in public places and not being loud. Make sure that you're clean, you know, and just that you follow the laws of today so that we don't have these, well, we're still going to have these problems, but, you know, where we have to watch what we say or do when we're in public because we know that we're the first that they try to come after. But, you know, conduct yourself in a proper manner. It used to be a time when I know when I was growing up, people had family pride and you didn't want to do anything to cause your family any disgrace. And I think that we need to go back to our youth and how we were raised, so on how we were to conduct ourselves and know that those valuable qualities is still things that we need to instill and to practice and to share. 11, the average so-called educated Negro will have to come down out of the air. He is too inflated over nothing. He needs an experience similar to the one that Ezekiel had. Otherwise, through influence and influence as to the plight of the masses, the Negro who thinks that he has escaped will lose his own soul. He would do all leaders good to read Hebrews 13:3. And the first 37 chapters of Ezekiel. Okay, well, with that, I hope that y'all got something out of it. Is there anything anybody wants to add or say?
No, those were good points to look at, to go through, and a lot of those are morals and values that were instilled in us being...
Yes.
Those of the baby boomers who are the last with that has been instilled in us, that again, that you knew that you were an extension of the family. You knew that when you left your home, you left in good standards. When you return the same way. You didn't, as your mama said, you don't bring that garbage out there in this house. And when you leave this house, you leave knowing that you're representing
me, your father, this family. So again, these, we are that last stands that has all of these standards in us that for some reason or another, we're not teaching, we're not sharing these things with our children.
Brother Eddie?
See, because, go ahead.
I was just going to say that all of that begins with respect.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Respect yourself.
But
it starts with that respect. And right quick, I forgot to add this to that 3 into 1. And we know that 3 into 1 is here and there. Here is there, and there is here. Because, as I said, here is 21. There is 28. But when you look at there, you can change it, the spelling, to 3. So you're seeing here being 3, there being 3 when you rearrange the letters. So we've been duped into talking about the Africa movement when we now understand that here, 21, 3, and there, with the spelling change, comes to 3. Well, haven't we figured out that Africa is 21, 3, and America is 21, 3? They want to move you from your Africa here in America, telling you to go back to Africa when you were you supposed to be, right here, but they not fooled you again. You're already in Africa. It's called America. They not duped you again. This is why we can go back, and we got Cairo, Illinois. Every place that's over in Africa is here. Here is there, and there is here. And we fuss at one another about we from Africa, we, no. Not all of us. Some of us, yeah. But the majority of us, where we were born, this is where we are from. This is our lineage. We are the original, what's called Native Americans today. But all of that has been washed away. It's a brainwash. Were we talking about going to Africa and seeing and everything that we talking about over there is right here. There is here and here is there. Which is which? Upside down. Ball of confusion. So I wanted to share that with that 3 into 1, which again, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, mind, body, and soul. They just keep changing the words. The numbers remain the same, family. So I wanted to add that to the class so that we will know we ain't got to go back to Africa. We are in Africa. Just like they renamed and repackaged everything, we where we supposed to be, right here. Right here. Because this is the spiritual age that we're in. That's why spiritual is for. That's part of God. That's spirit. They say the spirit of God. 4 and 4. Spirit is 31. God is 13. The spirit of God. That's why they use 13 and everything. They knew that magic number, and they told us that the 13th Amendment freed. Again, they're using these numbers, and we caught up in their writings of their Constitution, which is the law. Well, by number, Constitution is 52, which is 7. Law is 7. The Constitution is the law. But are we on the true law? Because the true law is divine. Divine is 25, which is 7. And that divine law comes from nature. Nature is 25, which is 7. But we chasing after
man's law of constitution and not the divine law of nature. It's the same number. They just keep changing the words and giving us different meanings behind these words that they want us to gravitate towards. No, not today. It's over. It's over. I got my part to do, and I'm hearing everybody else's part that they're bringing to the table. And I'm loving it. And like Ms. Kim said, and I echo, you got to have that personal relationship. And when it becomes personal, you start to see what nobody else can see. It's personal for you. It's coming straight out of that Holy Bible, known also as the Helios Bilios, which comes to 50, by the way.
But, Brother
Define. Yes, sir.
You heard of Chester Higgins?
Yeah, I've heard of him.
Okay, Chester Higgins, he made the famous quote. He says, "We are Africans not because we're born in Africa, but because Africa is born in us." That's what you said.
Okay.
Here is there and there is here.
I remember that one. I remember that saying now that you said that.
Right.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Look around you and behold that this is what he says. He says is that we are Africans not because we are born in Africa, but because Africa is born in us. Look
yes.
around you and behold us. In our greatness, greatness is an African possibility that you can make it yours.
Yes, indeed. I concur 100%.
Yeah, because when you kept saying it, I say, what is that? Chester Higgins. Yeah, that's
okay.
Who said that.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Maybe that's where I heard it from back then in the day, and it's like I said. We have things in our memory bank that we can't even access because of so much other garbage being entertained in one's own brain. And this is why we have to the nonsense and come up with the common sense. See, because as we said, common sense ain't common no more for most people. They're not using that critical thought of just common sense.
And that was the other part that we shared, too, in saying when you go out of the house, because when you was a child and we went out, the thing that we remember, a grown-up didn't ask you, what's your name, son? They asked you, who is your parents?
Correct.
Because you represented a mother and father, but then they infiltrate, they put the key in it and saying, okay, take the father out. Now when the child goes out and the person acts and they says, okay, who is your parents? The child is embarrassed. Or the thing in saying is that, okay, you Mrs. Jones' son, instead
mm-hmm.
of saying that you missed it, you belong to a father and mother, you only get one identity because you only have one parent that you're being raised by. It they changed. That's when they began the process of changing our identity and being able to make it saying that we're not a we are her.
That's part of the whole thing with divide and conquer.
Right.
Split up, divide the family. Just like I said, United States of them know it's nothing united here. They've been dividing us from the very beginning, and they still
right.
doing it, keeping us divided.
Because it says the destruction of a nation begins in the home. When
mm-hmm.
you divide the nation of mother and father, and you just make it about one or the other, then you're destroying the nation because it takes a pair to make a human being. It don't take a mother. It takes both of them coming together. That's why you call a parent. It's a pair. A male and a female makes a human being. It's not two mothers and two fathers. It's a pair of opposite sexes.
Yes,
what was the old saying? A home.
Y'all stay here. I'm going to play a closing song because in 10 minutes it'll be a 4 hour, and then we can continue this conversation. But let me do this for those that are, you know, listen to this, and that this will be the only thing they get.
Okay.
Okay, let me do this now. This is Miss Kim's God Bless America.
of mine to sleep beneath a quiet sky, unfettered, unconfined. Yes, this is America. A man is still a man in spite of anything he takes, and for his freedom he will until it's here someday. Yes, this is America. This land of mine, I stand behind. The land of the free and the home of the
America is also Miss Kim Weston. So both of the last selections, God Bless America is Miss Kim Weston, and This Is America is Miss Kim Weston. Okay, y'all.
God be the glory and bless you, God.
Bless you, Miss Kim. Okay, Brother Eddie, yeah, have y'all noticed something, and I don't want to take away from y'all's conversation, but is there any songs or things that says United States? Every song that I heard that talked about this landmass is called America. I never heard one call it United States.
I got to give it some more thought, but right quick, you're right. With me thinking off the top of my head, I don't hear anything talking about United States. It's all America.
Yeah.
America this, America that, but that's why I just said Africa is America by the number. They just changed the name and got us fighting over some shit, some stuff they done came up with by renaming stuff and giving us this and giving us tidbits to chase with the history that they've given us or the words to his story that they've given us that we gravitate toward. But again, this is sweet what we're doing here because right now this is family, so we home. This is home, sweet home. Bring it home. So we're bringing it to each other because what they doing is called a house divided, a home divided, and that's what they've been doing from the beginning. Divide and conquer. Divide the home. Once you start with the first system that we deal with, dealing with the system of home living, because, again, they have six of them dealing with what we come up through, starting from the home at birth or starting from the hospital, then going home. And there from home, you either go to school or church or go to church and school, you get a job, and then you get to the government. But this is their six institutions that we gravitate to. And they say, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Well, all of these are broke.
Yes,
the home
they are.
Is broke. The medical system, hospital is broke. Religion is broke. The job system is broke. I said church is broke and the government is broke. All of them are broke, and we ain't trying to fix none of them. They said if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Well, it's broke. All of it's broke. You know, and it was all done by design, as we always say. It's done by design. And we're in default.
I'm sorry.
What'd you say, Sister Antoinette?
You said that when you were at the schools doing security, you talked about how mm-hmm. you had the keys to everything. You know what
right.
you main thing that you had keys to that you gave the students? The keys of wisdom.
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure. I got it. It's the things that I didn't relate, but I got in a lot of trouble because, again, the students would be late for class, standing around the security desk listening to me give them real education, which they would go in with the information I gave them and challenge their teachers with the information I got. And what would they say? Where'd you get it from, Mr. Harris, the security? Security gave it to me. And they come to me, and I guess they thought I was going to back down, but I'm the wrong person. No. No, you show me the book that you're teaching them the wrong shit, and I'm going to show you where I got mine from. Come on, let's see what's what, But again, I talked myself out of a lot of jobs. I talked myself out of a lot of jobs because I every job I had, I always stood on my principles, morals, and values. That was first. So if it was something I saw wrong, I called any and everybody out on it. And a lot of people, like they said, they respected the heck out of me, but they didn't like me because I was messing with their money. I was messing with their money, because, again, they went along to get along to get paid, to continue getting paid. And I'm like, no, my children are here, and if I'm in the presence of any child, that child becomes my child. And you're not going to miseducate any of my children. Not why I'm on duty, not on my watch, and that's I've always been that way. So, again, being that way, I got disqualified. I got fired from a lot of places because, again, I wasn't going to stand around and see you misinform and miseducate our children and thinking you're doing them a service. No. And I see you doing wrong. And I'm going to sit there and let it go. Oh, no, no. I had a lot of teachers tell me, Mr. Harris, we respect you. But, Mr. Harris, we got to let you go, because at the end of the day, you're right, but you're messing with our money.
Yeah.
And they were straight up about that. I can respect them for that. But other than the respect of saying what's on their minds and their hearts, everything else, I had no respect for them because you pimping our children. You pimping our babies. You using our babies just to get paid. Because that's most of all the organizations I went to that deal with the youth, this is how they was getting funded and getting paid because of the children, just like in schools. That's why they want the attendance for that first day, that first week back in school. They want most of the children to be there because that's how they get allocated their funding. And this is how all programs in communities go.
I believe it's the first 14 days.
Whatever it is, that's what they take into account of the children that are attending school. So if your child don't attend school, that's money. That's money. That's why they want all these children in school. So again, but that was the same way. That's how all these organizations got their money. By the youth that they lied about that were involved, that were coming, because they was always offsetting the numbers to make the numbers right for them to get paid. So like I said, I would go through a lot of paperwork at a lot of places and people didn't know. They got people volunteering, talk about wait, do it on quick pro quo, do it and you're going to get paid down the road. I come to find out they get millions, and they still want these people to volunteer and ain't giving them nothing. I'm like, y'all need to stop the madness. Oh, well, we'll pay you if you don't say shit. Yeah, well, you pay me. You're going to pay me anyway, but I'm still going to tell the people. No. You pay me, so I shit. Come on. I'm not that person. It's probably why I'm not rich today. Because, again, you can't buy me.
You have principles,
That's it. Like I said,
No, no, no. But does anybody else have anything else to say real quick? Because again,
everything else is dropped. We dropped like 10 minutes ago. That's the reason why I wanted to get to
saying.
Yeah, the clothes.
Okay. So, yeah, I was saying if Brother Kwame or Miss Kim wanted to say anything on this part, because we need to let you go so you can be prepared for tomorrow with Brother Ray, because I definitely want to talk to Brother Ray. I ain't talked to him in a while, so I'm going to definitely be tuned in. But Miss Kim, Brother Kwame, do you all have anything to add?
No, this has been a great class, man. You know.
Blessings.
Yes, yes. Okay, family. Nobody
Thank
has
you.
Nothing to say. We going to let... Go ahead.
Oh, we dropped. So nobody could say anything else after we dropped. I tried to give everyone a chance.
Right. Well, we're going to close it out then, family, and we will have something new again to share with the family. It ain't like they say nothing new under the sun, but we're going to bring it to mind, and it's going to seem like it's new because we're going to talk about it a different way. Because this is the way we change these things. All this stuff has to be changed, and we have to be the heads of whatever we're trying to do. And, again, Brother Kwame, commending you and Ms. Kim for your due diligence and what y'all doing to help these people, individuals, organizations get off the ground so that we could start fixing ourselves. It's up to us. It's up to us.
Yeah.
And like I said, we got to keep on pushing.
Keep on pushing.
Yeah, we got to keep on pushing, family. Yes, sir.
Okay, because you said, you know, there's nothing new under the sun, but what we're doing is we renewing what was old.
That's it. What is old is new. That's, man, exactly right. That's, man, I use that statement all the time. Yes. That's what was old was new. This is why we bringing something old new, because, again, what I'm bringing with the numbers is new to a lot of people. That's all. It's the same thing,
like
I said.
Saying, we could either say we renew or you knew.
Right.
One or the other.
All right. It sounds great. Sounds great. Sister Antoinette, you were trying to say something before we close out?
Yes, I would like to do, if anyone is open to, you know, however y'all would to do it. But if y'all have suggestions or you wish to do a show on a topic that you would like, if you let me know, then we can schedule a day maybe on a Friday, you know, where we can do that and, you know, we can discuss what you want to discuss, what you wish to do a show on.
Who are you saying, me or everybody on the line right now who wanted to do something? Okay, I got you. Okay then, family, we going to go and close out. Sister Antoinette, you please get you some rest so you be fresh tomorrow with Brother Ray, and we can basically talk to him and pass on our condolences as we will, and let him discuss and get out what he needs to tell us, because we ain't heard from Brother Way in a minute now. So to hear him back on the lines and give us some information, it would be greatly appreciated. So get you some rest. Miss Kim, much love to you, my love. You keep strong and keep doing what you're doing, Brother Kwame. You always in my heart and prayers and doing what you're doing, because, brother, you be on the road more than a trucker, man. You be out there driving. You be going places, man. So you be careful in your endeavors, but you keep doing what you're doing. And with that, family, peace and love to all of y'all until the next time we get together.
Yes, okay.
Love,
thank you. Good night, everyone. Have a good one.
All right.
All righty. Bye-bye. Okay, well, I want you to hang up.